Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Wednesday, August 5th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. With a rise in summer temperatures comes an increase in emergency room visits for heat stroke and exhaustion. The Mountain West News Bureau's Jenny Kinsey reports that some states in our region are tracking the impacts on unhoused people.
In New Mexico, health officials say dangerously high temperatures are hitting certain groups hard. It's among the outliers of states tracking the impact of this summer's heat wave on homeless people. Daniela Matthews-Trigg with the State Environmental Health Epidemiology Bureau.
The epidemiological data that we collect at DOH has shown a steady increase in the number of ED visits in New Mexico for heat stress over the last 15 years, and these numbers have doubled since the early 2010s.
Colorado, Idaho, Nevada, and Wyoming track heat-related emergency department data, but do not check by housing status. Arizona is the only other state in the Mountain West specifically tracking emergency department visits for heat-related illness among unhoused people. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Jenny Kinsey in Albuquerque.
Wyoming Game and Fish is issuing a final warning to stop fishing the Snake River after noon. KHOL's Sophia Boyd Flegel reports the first-of-its-kind voluntary closure comes after a dry winter caused water temperatures to soar.
Warm water carries less oxygen. That means fish have a lower chance of survival, especially if stressed after being pulled out of the water with a hooked lip. Darren Ray is the Jackson Regional Fisheries Supervisor for the state. He's optimistic anglers will heed what he's calling a final warning, with afternoon water temps above 70 degrees.
The majority of folks here, they're really engaged. They have a high level of awareness. They appreciate the resource, and they don't want to impact it.
The state could prohibit fishing. Commercial outfitter Mike Dawkins says his guides will spend more time on other rivers in the region as a result. He's not stressed about short-term revenue, but more about long-term climate change. For now, his advice is,
you need to be out there early if you want to catch fish anyway.
The no fishing afternoon recommendation could last through August. For KHOL News, I'm Sophia Boyd Flegel.
Lawmakers are seeking to rein in prediction market apps because some allow wagering on the outcomes of wildfires. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez has more.
U.S. senators raised concern that prediction market apps could be a motive for arson. In a letter to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, which regulates the apps, they also said, quote, offering bets on destructive wildfires threatens to minimize communities' suffering. Andrea Desopoulos with the International Gaming Institute in Las Vegas has co-authored studies about gambling and behavior. She says betting on disasters is dehumanizing.
When things are gamified, it does sort of disconnect you from the reality that other people might be experiencing this in a like profound, real way. It makes it almost not real. It's just a game, and you just want to win this game.
The senators who signed the letter asked the Commodities Commission if it believes that prediction market app wagers about wildfires are in the public interest. I'm Yvette Fernandez, the Mountain West News Bureau reporter based at KNPR in Las Vegas.
This summer, the U.S. Forest Service authorized the use of N95 respirators for wildland firefighters for the first time. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Sun reports on what experts say about that change.
For years, scientists have known that wildfire smoke is especially bad in the high doses that wildland firefighters are exposed to. Heather Heward is a fire ecology instructor at the University of Idaho. She says new protective equipment can take a minute to gain traction in the field.
On the fire line, there are people that wear N95 masks when they are exposed to smoke. I would say it's definitely the exception more than it is the rule.
Part of that is because respirators can be uncomfortable. It's also because of workforce norms. Heward says when workers age up, they often reevaluate those decisions.
As they get 10, 15, especially 20 years in, they're having friends die of long-term illnesses, and it's it's terrifying.
She says more research is needed to implement practices that can improve health outcomes for wildland fire personnel. I'm Rachel Sun, reporting.
The Trump administration's proposed changes to a federal process called Section 106 has opponents concerned it could weaken protections for historic sites and tribal resources. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen has more.
The Advisory Council on Historic Preservation, made up of mostly Trump appointees, voted in late July to advance the proposal. Critics say the changes would reduce the role that tribal, state, and local governments play in reviewing projects that could affect historic buildings and archaeological sites. The process often applies to projects on public lands like transmission lines or mines. Ira Matt is the executive director of the National Association of Tribal Historic Preservation Officers. He spoke during a webinar outlining the changes.
We have expertise regarding our histories, our religions, our cultures, our relationships to place that only we can share.
Supporters of the revision say the historical reviews are long and unpredictable and can delay projects. The proposal is expected to be published soon for public comment. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A Cody Special Olympian made it to nationals for the first time ever and came back with some hardware. The Cody Enterprise reports Heather Costello has competed in Special Olympics for over 20 years. This year, she swam in three events in Minnesota's Twin Cities. She earned a silver medal in the 4x25-meter freestyle relay, a bronze in the 100-meter backstroke, and came in sixth in the 50-meter backstroke. An incoming Newcastle High School freshman just stepped off a national stage. The Newcastle Newsletter Journal reports Weston McConkie competed in three different events at the Nike Outdoor Nationals track and field meet. He raced to the top 30 in both the boys' middle school 100-meter dash and 400-meter dash. He also competed in the long jump. A Jackson landmark has made it onto the National Register of Historic Places. The Jackson Hole News and Guide reports the R. Lazy S. Dude Ranch was originally near the present-day Lawrence S. Rockefeller Preserve in Grand Teton National Park, but in the 1970s, it picked up and moved nearly a dozen original buildings several miles downstream to its present location. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What Wyoming county became the first to enjoy county-wide airmail service in the U.S.? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll be sure to give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, when was Yellowstone's famous fishing bridge constructed? The fishing bridge was originally finished in 1902, and then after ice damage, it was rebuilt in 1919. Then in 1937, it was totally rebuilt to its current and iconic form. Congratulations to Jane Anders, the first with the right answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Have a good day, stay cool, and join me again tomorrow.